Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watts, and joining me today is author Madonna Lacey. Madonna has just published her fantasy fiction novel, Chrysalis, The Awakening. With the vivid imagination of people and places, Madonna creates fictional worlds that push established storytelling boundaries. Her intense love for the Rocky Mountains and the American West are often reflected in her storylines for the Chrysalis series. Madonna lives in Fort Worth, Texas, is married, and the mother of two military sons, and the very proud grandmother of three granddaughters. And you can find out more at Madonna's website at webme.com. at ML Lacey, or you can Google her at ML Lacey. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Madonna.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great. So I'm just interested in your bio. You know, after having two sons, you must be thrilled to have all these granddaughters.
Oh, I am. Raising two boys and then having three granddaughters, it's a total different experience.
Isn't it? Oh, great. So I'm really interested to hear how you decided to become a writer. Did you always know you wanted to write?
No, not really. I never was much of a reader growing up, but I had a very vivid imagination. I loved to tell stories and make up my own worlds. Writing was not something that I was bound to do. But as I've gotten older and my boys are now grown and I have the time, instead of telling the story, I decided to try and write it.
So did you start with short stories or journaling? How did it kind of progress into a full-fledged novel?
Well, no, I didn't. This was just a very first endeavor, and it was originally supposed to have been a short story. But my husband says I can't tell a Reader's Digest version of anything, and it soon bloomed into a full novel, with the first one just being 7 days of this whole experience.
So you actually didn't take any writing classes or go that route whatsoever?
No, I just let my imagination write the words on the page, and surprisingly enough, a lot of people have enjoyed it.
That's the thing. You know, a lot of times people really need a lot of guidance in formulation and how to really create the story. And so they'll take classes and whatnot. And it's amazing because you really are getting some great reviews for this book.
Yeah, my writing style is probably not right down along the school line of how you write a novel or a book or a story. I blend in first person, second person, and third person and make it work to where the reader can follow it. It's probably not the way you're supposed to do it, but it works.
It's working. So when you're actually writing, is it pretty formulaic, or are you really very much in your imagination and it's happening in that moment for you?
I'm very much into the imagination. I can view the scenes and the conversations. My book is heavily laden with conversation, and I just go with that. If I start struggling with the storyline or something along that lines, or if a certain character just isn't getting right where he needs to be, then I regroup a little bit, and the story goes maybe in another direction. I've always known how the story began, and I always know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's my secret. What happens in the middle to me is like life, and you can't script that. So I just let it go.
God, it must be great to be a writer that way. I mean, every time you sit down to write, it's something that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, very much. And it surprises me even, but it all keeps flowing with the same things. I know who the bad people are, I know who the good people are, I have those that are teetering on either being good or bad, but the story, that will never change, but how the conversations happen, what happens during the whole book process is a surprise to me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And that's true creativity right there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So why fantasy?
It's easier for me to do the imagination. I can create it. I'm not hammered down by rules and going through historical fiction, you know, you have to be, in the most part, pretty accurate with the historical part of it. And I was never a big history fan growing up in school. So this just gives me more freedom to create and to do, and I have no laws to live by.
Absolutely. Well, will this be then your preferred genre for your future writing?
For right now, yes, I think so. It will always be in fantasy. I have a children's series that I am mulling over right now, but it's still on the shelf because right now I'm just focused on this one. They just don't seem to let me rest. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad.
And the children's books, they'll be in the fantasy realm?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
So fun.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so who then are your favorite authors? I mean, do you read fantasy fiction yourself?
I really don't have favorite authors. I have favorite series, like the Harry Potter series. I truly love that series.
Mm-hmm.
I've not read anything else that J.K. Rowling has written. I read a lot of Stephen Barry, the Rick Rodane series. I like his children's series and his adult series. So, you know, they're not my, oh, I got to go run out there and buy it. They've just written a new book. If it's in the series, yes, then I will buy it if I like the series.
So what is it about the series that really draws you?
Imagination. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the most part. And I find that a lot of more imagination is in the younger books being written. So I do read a lot of YA or young adult books. I have three granddaughters, and I like to keep abreast of what's out there for them so we can at least have something to talk about. So, you know, when those come out, I will read them. And I like to go to people that are unknown authors, too, because I find that they have a better imagination. You know, there's not a lot out there about them. So that's usually where I go to. I don't read a lot of romance novels. I don't read things that are sad. I don't read things that are bloody and gory. I read for fantasy and enjoyment and to be able to escape into those worlds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I really appreciate that you mentioned some of the unnamed authors that you really gravitate towards reading those, because it's true, there are so many great authors out there that nobody knows about that need to be heard.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they may have only written one or two, you know, if I really, really like the book, I will keep it, you know. And I have a very huge little library going of a lot of young authors out there. And right now I haven't been reading much of anything. My books are piling up on my nightstand, but I don't want anything coming into my mind that might inflict on my books.
That's a good point. To sway your imagination.
Right.
You know, getting back to the series idea, so, I mean, there's so much that you can encompass when you take a story idea and spread it out over a series, and I know that with yours, with Chrysalis, you're actually gearing this to be a trilogy.
Well, more than a trilogy. I just finished the third book in its first draft through this weekend.
Oh. Okay.
And that's only taking her through January. So the second book that will be coming out is actually after the 7 days in Las Vegas, starting in November and December. And then the third book is all of January, because it's her life she's chronicalizing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling you the story, and, you know, things happen day to day that relate to what's going on down the road. So it's pretty action-packed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're talking about her, and I know that's Bree. So why don't you tell us about Bree, this main character of yours, and just get our audience familiar with her.
Well, she's a 32-year-old woman who was born mortal into a coven of witches, and they've held all of their knowledge of the magical realm from her. She knew nothing of this growing up. She grew up completely mortal. All of her friends are mortal. She doesn't know that she has protectors out there. She knows nothing of her prophecy or anything like that. But she's always heard voices, and she's always seen things, and she's kept that all to herself because her family's protected her so well they don't let her out of their sight. And she was so sure that she was crazy that she just kept everything inside of herself. And then the first book, like I said, is of her, of over a 7-day period where she's learning all of this. And her grandmother takes her to a reunion of sorts in Las Vegas where she is going to be reunited with her love of her life, which is Stephen. And it just unfolds from there.
And this is all in book one, The Awakening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you use dream sequences to move her evolution along. Tell us about the dreams and really why. I think that she also keeps them, she keeps that secret.
Well, when she first has the very first dream sequence, her guardian, Odessa, and I just love that name, Odessa.
Wonderful. Down in Texas, right?
Yes, down in Texas. you know, she tells her to keep this knowledge to herself, and she would know the time would be right to let the others in on what she had gained. But she needed herself to come to terms with all of this. So I gave her a shaman. I've always loved the old Indian movies where the old chieftain with long gray hair and a wrinkly face was always so wise, you know, and would speak to her and move her along in the processes and train her and teach her through subtle little hints and let her grow on her own. And so he just became a reoccurring little figure in her dream sequences. Mm-hmm. And that also helps the audience or the reader know a little bit more and not have to have a lot of dialogue or wording to lay the whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate that in a lot of books where they take several of their chapters to bring you into the knowledge and re-go over everything that happened in prior books and everything. So I try to do that and keep everything flowing so mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of dead space.
Mm-hmm. I think readers really appreciate that. It just really indicates that you know, your audience is intelligent. You don't need to go through all of that.
Precisely.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're really blending a lot of different sort of archetypes that are in this genre. You have witches and vampires, and then you bring in mythology and the shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
It's busy, but it's a smooth flow and an easy read. Even though it is over 170,000 words, it moves along quickly, and I've heard this from many people that have read my book, that it was a fast pace, it was energizing to them, they didn't want to put the book down, and when they had finished, it was a quick email to me, okay, where's the next one?
Oh, you know it's a good book when you just can't wait for the next one, right? That's great. Oh, that kind of feedback from your readers is just, it really, I'm sure, inspiring for you just to get down and get the second book out.
It was. I thought, you know, I enjoyed it. And then when I passed it around to some of my friends and they enjoyed it, it just kept snowballing from there. And I was very surprised at all their responses. I would have thought, you know, oh, yeah, that was good. But then it was just, and the next one is when?
Mm-hmm. Why
aren't you finishing it now? You know,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll get to it.
Give my brain a rest.
And so a little different here, too, with your writing style and with this story is that you're really setting this in present time in the United States, in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know the world here. I mean, I know the U.S., being through the military, my husband's military retired, we've traveled,
mm-hmm.
and we were out west the majority of his career. So I love the west, the northwest Yellowstone area. That is my most favorite spot, and I bring that out a lot because since it's my favorite spot, of course it's going to be Bree's favorite spot. Mm-hmm. So she travels there a lot. She's of the earth. She's of the elders, and so she gains her strength and her it calms her, and I know that even going into Yellowstone, whenever my husband and I go there, and we try to go there yearly, you just go through the gates, and it's just like, okay,
mm-hmm.
the whole world is left behind, and I'm calm now.
The energy out west is very mystical and magical in its, you know, just That's how it is. So it's a perfect, perfect setting.
Mm-hmm. There, from the Indians to, you know, the settling of the Wild West and all of that, there is just an untamedness out here.
Absolutely. And Las Vegas is perfect when we're talking witches and vampires, right?
I was at a conference, and that's where it struck me, you know, seeing all of the, they had a Halloween group there or something. I don't know. They were all just dressed up. And I thought, oh, this would be great.
Clearly. So Bree is a 30-something lead, which is actually a little older than we typically see in fantasy novels. So is that deliberate?
Yes, it is. I wanted something for my age group. You know, they have it all out there for the younger and the teenagers and all that. But I really wanted this a little bit more on the adult side, because I'm comfortable out here in the adult world, and so I wanted to pull in those readers. I wanted to give the readers of my age group something else that they can sink their teeth into and to read and enjoy and just let their minds go.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Madonna Lacey. She is the author of Chrysalis, The Awakening. And to find out more about Madonna and her book, you can go to webme.com and type in ML Lacey, or just Google ML Lacey or Madonna Lacey, and you'll find all sorts of information online. Clearly, I think that there is an opening for this type of a novel in a more mature audience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do too.
Yeah, it's all pretty much geared for younger teenagers and 20-somethings. You know, we're talking about Harry Potter, the Twilight series.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have imagination too.
And,
you know, we need to unleash that imagination and just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And what safer place to do it is in a book.
Sure. So what do you make of the success of some of these series like we've mentioned?
I think it's great. I think whenever you pull someone in to read and you let their minds go and they can just imagine and grab a hold of it and write it for all that it's worth, I think that is just fantastic.
There's something very different about reading and using your imagination in that way than turning on the television or a video game.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's the power within your own mind. God gave everybody the imagination. You just have to unleash it every once in a while.
Yeah. And you need to, because it gets a little rusty if you don't.
Well, not only that, there's enough heartache going on out there in the world that sometimes you just need to escape.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. So what's your favorite part of Chrysalis?
Oh, my. That's a hard one. I love the entire book, but if I had to pick one part, it would be when her memories came back. That was very, very special for me to write and to bring in the time that Stephen was taken away from her, and it all comes back into her mind, and it just unfolds. And it was so many mixed emotions. They weren't even prepared for her emotions. You know, they were thinking she would be screaming and ranting and raving, but it flowed so well. And then, you know, I love the closeness that she felt to all of them without even knowing them. But her mind told her that she knew them, but she was struggling with that because she still thought she was teetering on the edge of being put away.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her closeness with Billy. That's a genuine closeness there. But I really do also like writing for Esmeralda. She's the wicked little witch of the whole series, and she's a very good wicked witch to write for.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love all of these different characters. I mean, to be a writer writing characters like that, it just, you know, you get to really encompass that being yourself.
Yeah, I know them so well, you know, that I know where they need to go, and I know their personalities, and it's fun writing for them.
How important is Stephen to the novel?
He's very important. He is everything to Bree. He is her ultimate love. He will always be the number one, and everybody else will be second. But he's very, very important to her. He has been ever since she was born.
Mm-hmm. And so how much romance do we find in this novel?
There's a lot of romance. There's a lot of morals that she has to come to term with, because in the book, I wanted it different. I didn't want your standard witches and vampires and one love, boy, girl. I wanted to make their realm different from ours, even though they were blending with ours. And so I took the concept of a shared love type setting within clans, within families of the magical realm. And I had to even get beyond my morals in that too. And so I took the concept that they lived such a very long time. And I just wondered how difficult it would be for an individual who lived for all of eternity with the same mate and never, never strain. You know, what would that be like?
Mm.
And so I kind of fixed it to where they don't have the same views as we have on intimacy and all of that. And they love all the members of their families and their clans, and I made it work, mm-hmm. And that was hard, and it still gets me sometimes. But a friend of mine, my editor, you know, we were playing with this, and as I was sending it out there to her, and she goes, okay, that'll work. And then I would shoot her something else. I said, okay, but this is how we're going. She goes, okay. But as I wrote it, she's okay, all right, mm-hmm. this is working.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it's great to step outside of the box like that.
Yeah, it was very outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Clearly. So does that, the whole idea of share love, does that, and that whole string, does that tie into some of the deeper themes with Bree about really her embracing her humanity?
Yes. She had to be mortal for the first 25 years. She couldn't know anything. And then at the crossing, she would be 32, which is where she's at right now. Between that 25 and 32-year age span, they would have schooled her in all of their ways, and she would have been more accepting of a lot of these issues, they hoped. So she struggles.
Struggle is a common theme for her.
Yeah, she has a lot of struggles. She's learning, though, and she's maturing with this. So it's fun to draw it out. I don't want her to be like the downtrodden woman that, you know, just can't think, you know, and she's always got all these conflicts. She's resolving them within her own mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Well, she's a strong character, for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I also, you know, and when you go back into history and things like that, and kings had many, many mistresses and all of that, you know, I thought, well, let's just turn it around and make it the woman.
There you go. Why not? That's fantastic. So you didn't go the traditional publishing route with this book. You decided to self-publish. Why?
Well, I didn't go that route, no. And I tried to go through those processes of getting an agent and all of that, but I couldn't put my finger on one type of genre other than fantasy that it would go into. And so I really probably didn't research that as well as I should have. I was more interested in writing the story, and actually publishing it was the furthest thing from my mind. I had it in a binder on my shelf, and I had the nice little spine cover, and, you know, and then I thought, after everybody had read it and they were pushing me towards it, I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot. But writing those query letters, I sweated over them, and the short synopsis enough was enough to ruin the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took this route. I wanted a book. I wanted what I had done in book form that I could put on my shelf, and whether it went anywhere or not, I had my little book
mm-hmm.
instead of the huge binder. And so I chose this route, and I have really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to it, but I got to to design my cover, and I got to do my edits, and I got to keep my story my way.
Mm-hmm. There's so much more freedom.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and when you think about it, publishers and agents, they're all in the business of selling books, and you know, they don't. You have to really get in there on that first shot, you know, for them to pick it up. And.
And there's very few that actually do get picked up.
That's true.
Yeah.
And not only that, this was a quicker way for me to do it, because even though you get an agent, it takes a little bit of time for them to get out there and to get the books across and all of that, and I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my book.
Yeah, absolutely, without waiting years for it to really get going. So where are you at with book two at this point?
My editor has assured me I will have my edits by this Friday, and I will then go back through and make all of the corrections and tweak it a little bit more and do another final reread, and then it should, hopefully, I'm looking for a November time frame.
Mm, right before Christmas. That's
yeah.
Perfect. Well, your readers are going to be very happy about that.
I hope so.
Yeah, and you will self-publish again, clearly.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I am going to go that route again.
So what do you think will be easier the second time around?
Knowing the ropes mm-hmm. now,
mm-hmm.
knowing, you know, how to get out there, going through the process of the self-publishing itself. Author House is very, very good. They've helped me along considerably, and... you know, just knowing what to expect now.
So is it more the marketing and promotions end of it? Or?
Yes, that because I'm doing that all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that can be very expensive. So you have a small budget and you have to dole out the dollars and, you know, getting it out there, getting it into libraries. The first book, I gave it away an awful lot just to get it into people's hands. Bookmarks and things like that. I pass them out when we travel. I just leave little bookmarks here, there, and yonder
mm-hmm.
in hotel lobbies. And
oh, that's there's so many ideas like that, though, that you can promote on a budget.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
there are. And, you know, we're in, I go to as many of the book fairs that I can get into and go through that way. And, is going into the New York Library Fair, and there's also a library book fair in California that it's going to in October.
Well, great. You know, I saw those mentioned up on your website. So will you be attending the New York Book Fair?
No, unfortunately I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I wished I could, but they're so close together, and the air travel out there and all of that. No, at this time I won't. It's also going over to Germany to a library fair there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are other things that you can do like this here and being reviewed, having it out on Amazon. And word of mouth is the strongest that I have found.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you find with the fantasy, some of these fantasy festivals and it's slipping my mind, the big one that they have, I believe it's in California, maybe it was in Nevada this year, but those kind of specific festivals geared for the fantasy.
Right. All of those are very, very good to get into. I know we have one even here in Dallas that I would like to go to and have my book set up there ready for sale and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't like fantasy, if they aren't into vampires and things like that, they won't gravitate towards this book. So you have to pick your right audience, and that is the audience that gravitates towards it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband doesn't read fantasy, so, you know, this doesn't even interest him. You know, he's more of a historical fiction or biographies and things like that.
So are your is your audience more predominantly female because you have a such a strong female lead?
I have heard mostly from women, yes. I have had a few male readers read it and comment that they enjoyed it, which really did kind of surprise me because I wasn't really writing it towards the male audience. It was more towards the woman, but surprisingly, they have enjoyed it.
That's great. Fantastic. Well, I want to mention your website once again. It's webme.com, and it's ML Lacey. And also, I know that if listeners Google your name, ML Lacey or Madonna Lacey, they'll find all sorts of information online.
Yes.
And Chrysalis is available through Amazon, as you mentioned. Local booksellers, I'm sure, can order it.
Yes.
Okay.
Barnes & Noble, yes, all of them, they can order it.
That's
and you can go online and order it through them as well.
Great, great. It's accessible. It's out there, and you are getting fantastic reviews. So really,
well,
congratulations.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking with you, Madonna.
Well, it's been very great visiting with you.
Yes, and we will have to do it again, book two. I mean, it's November. That's coming right around the corner. So.
Yes, it is. I would like to be able to do two books a year.
Mm-hmm.
I always hated waiting on the sequels of books.
I know. It's terrible. It's like that last chapter of a book I really enjoy. I just want to drag it out.
I know.
So how many books do you think you will actually have?
Well, the thought process right now is between 7 and 8. As long as I can keep people interested and they enjoy it, I will continue with it. But she is scheduled to cross or not cross or whatever, May-June time frame. And each book is about a month in her life, her viewing it and her writing and telling you about it.
Quick, that is a quick read. So same cast of characters throughout?
Yeah, there are additional people just to keep it interesting. Kill off a few here, there, and yonder. Depends on what kind of day I've had at work.
Oh, of course. There you go.
Who's made me mad? Take my frustrations out.
I love it. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Madonna. All the best to you. Much success, and we will definitely talk again.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, listeners, that's been Madonna Lacey. Her new book, Chrysalis, The Awakening, it's book one in her series. Looks like a 7-to-8-book series, so get in on it early. Reviews are excellent for this book. Madonna has done really a wonderful job with this first novel she's put out, so I highly recommend that you check into it. Check your local bookstores, booksellers, online booksellers. It's everywhere. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live once again. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.